proud because of wealth. Aham kritihi.
Egotistic. Tiryak prakshanaham. Whose vision is crooked. Sarvata abhivishanki. Always fearful of being cheated by others.
Always fearful of being cheated by others.
Even by superiors.
Even by superiors.
Artavyayanasha chintaya. By the thought of expenditure and loss. Parishu Shamana. Dried up. Vidayavadanaha.
His heart and face.
Nirvatim. Happiness. Anuvagataha.
Not obtaining.
Graha. A ghost. Eva. Like. Artam, wealth. Avirakshati, protects. Saha, he. Cha, also. Api, indeed. Pritcha, after dying. Tat, of those riches. Utpadana, of the earning. Utkarshana, increasing. Samrakshana, protecting. Shamalagraha,
accepting the sinful activities.
Suchimukhe, named Suchimukha. Nalake, in the hell. Nipatati falls down. Yatra, where? Ha, indeed. Pitagraham, as a money-grabbing ghost. Papa Purusham,
very sinful man.
Dharma Raja Purushaha, the commanding men of Yamaraj. Vayakaha iva.
Like expert weavers.
Sarvataha.
All over.
Angeshu.
On the limbs of the body.
Sutrahai.
By threads.
Parivayante.
Stitch.
Translation.
One who in this world, or this life, is very proud of his wealth, always thinks I am so rich who can equal me. His vision is twisted and he is always afraid that someone will take his wealth. Indeed, he even suspects his superiors. His face and heart dry up at the thought of losing his wealth, and therefore he always looks like a wretched fiend. He is not in any way able to obtain actual happiness, and he does not know that what it is to be free from anxiety. Because of the sinful things he does to earn money, augment his wealth, and protect it, he is put into the hell called Suchimukha, where the officials of Yamaraj punish him by stitching thread through his entire body like weavers manufacturing cloth. So, purport by Divine Grace, Srila Prabhupada, Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. When one possesses more wealth than necessary, he certainly becomes very proud. This is the situation of men in modern civilization. According to the Vedic culture, Brahmanas do not possess anything, whereas Kshatriyas possess riches, but only for performing sacrifices and other noble activities as prescribed in the Vedic injunctions. A Vaishya also earns money honestly through agriculture, cow protection, and some trade. If a Shudra gets money, however, he will spend it lavishly, without discrimination, or simply accumulate it for no purpose. Because in this age, there are no qualified Brahmin, Kshatriyas, or Vaishyas. Almost everyone is a Shudra. Kalo Shudra Sambhavaha. Therefore, the Shudra mentality is causing great harm to modern civilization. A shudra does not know how to use money to render transcendental loving service to the Lord. Money is also called Lakshmi, and Lakshmi is always engaged in the service of Narayana. Wherever there is money, it must be engaged in the service of Lord Narayana. Everyone should use his money to spread the great transcendental movement of Krishna consciousness. If one does not spend money for this purpose, but accumulates more than necessary, he will certainly become proud of the money he illegally possesses. The money actually belongs to Krishna, who says in Bhagavad Gita in the 5th chapter, text 29, Bhoktaram Jagatapasam Sarva Loka Maheshwaram. I am the true enjoyer of sacrifices and penances, and I am the owner of all the planets. Therefore nothing belongs to anyone but Krishna. One who possesses more money than he needs should spend it for Krishna. Unless one does so, he will become puffed up because of his false possessions, and therefore he will be punished in the next life as described herein. So Om Ganat Mirandasha Gananjana Shlakaya Chakshur Meditam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha. So actually we see many examples of this as people who are acquire money, and basically, because Prabhupada said everyone shudra, they don't utilize it properly or they just hoard it. And there's one interesting example I came across recently in my own life, and it's not me. In my own life is that I'm dealing with one particular businessman who remained nameless. Anyway, he's a very wealthy man. He's a billionaire. $1 billion. And I was talking to him the other day, and I was saying, did you ever get married? And he said, no. I said, why didn't you get married? And it's not that he has any other propensity that cannot be mentioned in the Bhagavatam class. He said, because if I get married, then there's a chance that my money will be taken away. Of course, it does say in the Bhagavatam that the family members in Kali Yuga are called legal thieves. A legal thief is someone who, even if you report them to the government for taking your money, the government won't do anything. I mean, for example, if you call 911 and say, my wife has taken my money from me. You can imagine that. You call 911 and say, yes, it's an emergency. My wife is demanding and taking my money. She's stealing my money. They would say, what? This is normal. So, you can't really call 911 in those cases. Of course, you can call 919-732-5750. It happens to be my phone number. And then we'll come and relieve you of some of your money and take it for Krishna. Anyway, so your wife can't get it. So that's, Prabhupada called that legal thief. And I remember when, even when I was young, that my father would come home at night and I would just empty out his pockets and keep the money. And, you know, I was look forward to him coming home. We'd go into his closet and through his wallet and everything like that. And I remember also that my mother, when my father was at work, my mother would just buy things on credit. He'd come home and be real upset and he'd have to pay for it. So anyway, getting back to this point, to the point of the story, it says that my very wealthy friend, I'm extremely wealthy, I mean unimaginably wealthy, that we can't imagine. He said, I never got married because, you know, because if I got married, then my wife would take everything away. And so therefore, I mean, of course, the solution is not something that I would prescribe. He says, therefore, I just have girlfriends. This is not exactly the Vedic solution to protecting your money. So, you know, he goes places and has different girlfriends in this country and that country, he has girlfriends. And so this way he protects his money from possible stealing from family members. Anyway, so this is a very practical example how when people have money they can't even get into normal family life. They're in anxiety. And of course I'm not saying that people have no money then they could enjoy life. That's not the point, because in the Vedic literatures, Chanakya Pandit says that, you know, when his poverty is stricken, it takes away all a man's good qualities. In other words, like if you don't have enough to eat, you're hungry, then you're agitated and everything like that. Unless you're Krishna conscious. Here's another point. That if you're Krishna conscious, then it doesn't take away your good qualities. And of course, the example of that is Sudama Brahman, the famous story in the Vedic literatures of Srimad Bhagavatam. That Sudama Brahman, he was poverty-stricken. And the reason he was poverty-stricken, of course, we should understand that if someone's poverty-stricken, there's several different reasons one could be poverty-stricken. One reason is that one has a karmic reaction. One did something when he was young or in a previous life, taking money away from others or not sharing things properly. And so there's a reaction. Another reason is that, as Krishna says, yashaha manabhunamai harishe tadanam shanai, that when I especially favor someone, I just take away everything, his wife and family reject him, and his society makes fun of him. So all he can do is just chant Hare Krishna. Pretty nice. I mean, I've experienced that, not object poverty, of course, but I've experienced that when things get tough, of course, the tough get going, but anyways, when things get tough, then we really take more shelter in Krishna's holy name. It's like I walk in this park, the Okanochi Park. How did I start walking in it? By the mercy of some of my disciples who acted in a way that was not exactly pleasing to me, to say the least. Like the most painful thing is, of course, is even more than losing one's money is when loved ones turn against one. And loved ones can mean family members, you know, disciples or people you care about, things like that. And it's like putting a knife in your heart. Just like yesterday we were talking about, certainly one gentleman about the Japanese, how they did this harikari. They would disembowel themselves, put a knife in their stomach and then cut it out. Whoops, sorry. And that's the only, anyway, you can understand. This is a method when they were ashamed because they didn't win the battle or something like that. Yeah, they would do that. So can you imagine putting a knife in your heart and just like moving it around? I mean, it's unbelievably painful. Of course, I don't know. I've never done it. So when someone turns against you, it's like, you know, sticking a knife and rubbing around your heart. And then so then, you know, there's several different ways we can respond to that. One is we just get extremely depressed, commit suicide, you know, walk into, in India, they have a fancy way of committing suicide. They walk into a river, drown themselves. In America, you just shoot yourself in the head. It's a lot quicker. Or jump off a building, Spider-Man style. But, you know, that's one way you may respond or get depressed and talk on the phone with all your relatives about it and look for some sympathy. But a devotee, you know, if someone's actually Krishna conscious, then he just grabs his japa beads and chants more intensely, takes shelter of Krishna's holy names. So this is the methodology. Anyway, this is very important. So anyway, getting back to the story of Sudama Brahman, as we started to tell. Sudama Brahman, he was poor because he did something really bad when he was young. When he was young, he was in Gurukula with Krishna. And you gotta be careful when you're in Gurukula with God. It can be problematic. And if you're in Gurukula with Fulaneta of Detal, that's kind of sure, just any guy. So, and it doesn't really matter what you're doing, you know, you can just fool around and everything like that. But if your best friend is God, then you just gotta be careful where you put your feet. So, what happened is that one time his spiritual master, Sundapani Muni, sent Sudama and Krishna out to gather some firewood, and then it was late at night and dark and started raining and everything like that. And both of them had to really take shelter in a tree because it was flooding and all sorts of things like that. And the spiritual master had given Sudama Brahman some grains and some food, the spiritual master's wife, so that both of to share with Krishna while they were out, Krishna and Balaram while they were out. And so what happened is that Sudama became so hungry that he ate everything. And he didn't share it with Krishna. You know, what's the people offering it to Krishna? He didn't share it with Krishna. So as a result of not sharing something with Krishna, this is actually what we're talking about here in this particular verse, that one is very stingy. Like that Scrooge, Uncle Scrooge on the Christmas Carol. So he just like kept it all for himself. And sometimes it's like that when we know a guest is coming, we'll eat very fast. And even eat more than we need. Because it may not be enough for us. I remember the early days of the movement when it was a Sunday feast and, you know, some guests may come and God forbid they would eat some globjamins, healthy globjamins. Then we would hide some, you know, in our clothes. And, you know, unfortunately, sometimes the clothes got a little wet and sticky from globjamins. You know, globjamins are sugar, water, juice, you know, 2 parts sugar, 1 part water. Yeah, they're extreme. When it dries, it's extremely sticky, and the ants eat your clothes after that. Yeah. So we would hide it in case. And then sometimes, you know, I was in anxiety during the Sunday feast because there were too many guests coming, and they would eat everything, and then I was just like, yeah, anyway, this is immaturity in Krishna consciousness. So anyway, so Sudama Brahmana ate everything. And then this was a great offense because Krishna was there. And he didn't share anything with Krishna. So then later on in life, he became poverty stricken. And he was very, very poverty stricken. And basically, I mean, they hardly had anything to eat. And clothes had holes in them. And their house was just a shack. You know, just like a tin shack with a plastic bag roof like you see in India. And Sudama Brahman and his wife was concerned about her husband. They were both pure devotees, of course. So even this happens with devotees. So she was concerned with her husband, and she said to her husband, you know, why don't you go visit your friend Krishna? He's supposed to be your buddy, and he's married to Lakshmi. You know, I know that if my friend was Krishna and his wife was Lakshmi, I'd be there every day. I wouldn't need someone to tell me to go visit him. Can't I be living with him? I would leave my family. Anyway, his wife was concerned with him. She was actually a pure devotee. So then Sudama Brahmana says, all right, I'm going to take something to give to Krishna. Because when you go to see the Supreme Personality of Godhead, you should give him a gift. It's part of Vaishnava etiquette or the etiquette of the guest. So his wife didn't have anything to give to Krishna. She looked around, went to the neighbors, and the neighbors gave her some of this broken rice grains. And she carried that and gave it to her husband and said, you bring it to Krishna. So Sudama Brahman goes to see Krishna, and basically he was almost not let, they almost prohibited him from entering into the palace because he looked like a urchin, not a regular Brahmin, like an urchin, a street urchin. And basically, Krishna had to come out and say, hey, that's my buddy. You know, can you imagine like some real, like, dirty bum coming to the door and saying, you know, I'm the friend of Vir Krishna Maharaj, you know, just like dirty and hair unkempt and clothes ripped. And you probably say, you know, there's a soup kitchen down the road. And, you know, they wouldn't believe that. I was his friend when he was young. Obviously, if you think that someone was my friend, they're probably from a certain type of family, would be very rich. They would be in rags. And they, anyway, you get the idea. So then, somehow or other, Krishna came out, and then he brought him in, and then he was bathing Sudama Brahman's feet. Received him nicely, because Sudama Brahman was a Brahman. And Krishna said to him, have you brought anything for me? And Sudama Brahman was certainly embarrassed. He said, no. You haven't brought anything. Krishna said, I know you brought something to me. And there was a little wrestling match after that. And you don't want to wrestle with Krishna. Unless you're his friend, of course. And so there was wrestling between Sudama Brahman and Krishna. And Krishna grabbed this packet of broken rice and ate. And he said, why are you keeping all this nice stuff for yourself? And then he ate once and twice. And then Lakshmi, Rukmini, prevented him and said, no, this is not food fit for you. Plus, if you eat any more, you know, he's going to take over everything. You know, he's going to take over Vaikuntha, you know. Because Krishna was saying that whatever is mine is also my friend's. And Lakshmi wasn't so happy with that one. And so what happened is because Krishna was pleased with him and Krishna accepted that offering, Krishna reciprocated by having Sudama Brahman have a palace. So when Sudama Brahman left, went back to see his home, he found basically a big mansion with a swimming pool and servants and a Mercedes out front. Not really, not Mercedes, but anyway, some sort of chariot with beautiful horses out front. And he was rewarded. But then, the point is, he was actually worried at that point, thinking, now that I have all this stuff, you know, really, how can I be Krishna conscious? And he was praying to Krishna intensely. Don't let me become attached to this wealth. Don't let me become bewildered. Let me remain as your humble devotee. So this is the proper attitude by which one can actually utilize wealth in Krishna consciousness. Otherwise, wealth is very dangerous because why is it dangerous? It's dangerous because it causes you to be very prideful. Because when you have wealth, I mean, people respect you. I mean, for example, if some really wealthy person walked in here, let's say, you know, Bill Gates or something like that, or, of course, Jobs is dead. He might be here right now. So if some really wealthy person walked in here, you know, we'd all stand up and offer our obeisances, you know. And, of course, I would invite him to my home. We'd cook a special dinner for him, you know. I tell Krishna Priya to rush over her house, arrange the table, everyone should cook. We'd sit down at the table, and I'd spend hours and hours and hours with the guy, just because he has money, right? Because I want to build a temple, too. I mean, there's actually a purpose to that, not that I need a new car. Maybe I do. So it leads to someone being very proud because you think you can control things. I mean, I have given this example before that when my father passed away, I thought I was going to inherit a whole bunch of money. And so I was on a plane on the way to the funeral. Anyway, confessions, true confessions. And I was thinking, wow, now people in this country are going to have to listen to me. Because, you know, if I have money and then I can give donations, people respect me more, I can go to the GBC meeting and, you know, everyone will stand up. It's like, you see, with my godbrother, Ambarish, I mean, he's a wonderful devotee, but when he comes into Sridhar Mayapur, I mean, I was sitting in the GBC meeting one year, and he was arriving in Sridhar Mayapur. And remember, he's not a sannyasi or exalted guru like me. So, he's a nice devotee. You know, simple, humble, nice, great devotee. So he arrives there, and then what they did is they had all the sirens. They have sirens in Mayapur for several reasons. One reason for sirens is when the Muslims start attacking with hatchets, you want to run for shelter. I was there one year when that happened. They were coming with these scythes, not hatchets, and they were like that. It was like one of these movies, you know, like Genghis Khan attacks you. And there were thousands of them coming. And the siren went, and we all just ran to the top. the building, locked the doors, shot up a few, you know, shells into the air, boom, boom, then they all ran away. So, another reason for the siren is to announce that some respectable person is coming. So anyway, so he came to Shiran Mayapura, and the whole GBC came out to receive him. It was like, Prabhupada was coming, practically speaking. So, you know, you can really get proud when that happens. And so, you know, when I was thinking I was going to inherit money from my father, I thought, well, that's going to be me. Fortunately, or unfortunately, whatever the case may be, I didn't inherit anything. My father left me his gun. I wasn't sure if it was meant for me to shoot myself. Because I didn't get any money or taking my frustration some other way, but somehow that was all I was left. And his wife got everything else. My brother didn't get anything anyway, either. You know, just because he got married a second time. So the point is that when you have money, or you think you're going to have money, then it makes you very proud. I mean, even like that example Prabhupada told about the potter who thought he was going to become very wealthy one day. This potter had a whole business plan. You know, he went to his financial advisor, and the financial advisor devised a business plan. Like, look, he said to him, you know, you have this one pot, and you make money by selling it, and you invest that money to make another pot. And then you do four pots. You know, it spans like they 2, 4, 8, 16, 32, 64 rounds. No. Anyway, pots, obviously, 128. And it expands on that. It's not an arithmetic expansion. It expands more than that. So anyway, so then this potter was just planning out his financial future with Merrill Lynch. Anyway, he was describing how he was going to get one pot, two pots, and he became very rich. Even before he became rich, he became proud. And then he thought, when it got up to like 10 million pots or something, he'd be a crore pati. That's a play on words, you know, pati. You know, pati means master, and in this case I'm using it in terms of the English word pot. You know, crore means like 10 million, a master of 10 million. That's crore pati. Yet in general it means rupees. So in this case it means pots, you know, crore pati. And the husband sometimes is called Pati Dave. The master, my master and lord. Nowadays they don't call the husband that anymore, do they? Pati Dave. Pati Dave, yeah, sometimes they do. Pati Dave, where's my money? So he became, in his mind, he was a crore pati. That means 10 million pots. So then what happened is he thought, yeah, then I'll get married, my wife will have to respect me. And, you know, the anger was welling up in his chest. And I'll be powerful. And if she doesn't respect me, I'll kick her. And he was, when he was talking about kicking her, it became a little physical, even though she wasn't there. You know, what he thought was her was actually his first pot, which was his initial investment. And he kicked the pot and his initial investment was finished. And then he became a no potty. No potty after that. So anyway, you see, even the you see the pride of thinking you're gonna have money come. But to speak of having the money. You think you control everything, you know, get away with anything. Of course, the other example given is the example of Manigriva and Nalakuvara. Manigriva and Nalakuvara, of course, they were the sons of Kuvera, and they became very proud that even when a great devotee, Narada Muni, came, they didn't even bother to put their clothes on. Can you imagine how prideful that is? Of course, they were intoxicated, too. But still, the girls, who were also intoxicated, knew to put their clothes on because they weren't prideful. They didn't have the money. But these two guys, you know, they just thought, you know, we have money, and Narada Muni comes. And they're just like walking around their birthday suits in front of him. Didn't even offer obeisances, what the speaker put on to try to cover the private parts of their body. So you see these many examples of how money really contaminates. And even in the Bible, Lord Jesus said it's difficult to go to heaven, for a rich man to go to heaven, a camel to go through an eye of a needle. Which is interesting. So, you know, what do we do? Does that mean we give away all of our money to Bhikkhu Maharaj? Yes. No. Not really. Although that would be that would be my desire. But anyway, so what we have to do is not only utilize our money in Krishna's service, because even utilizing our money in Krishna's service, we can come prideful, think the devotees are depending on me. You know, that I have the guru in my pocket, along with my money. Not only that, but we have to really cultivate humility. The idea that I'm simply a servant. Because even if you give your money to Krishna, that's not enough. Because then you're thinking that Krishna needs me. I mean, so many people give money to Krishna, they're just prideful as anything. So we have to cultivate a chance. As Chaitanya Mahaprabhu states, you know, Chanadapi Sudhi Chena, Taravapi Sihishnana, Manina Manadena Ketanya Sadhagari. Be ready to offer all respects to others. You know, bow down, Mr., as the song goes. Your boy George. Bow down, Mr. Hari Krishna Hari Ram. You know that song? What's that? You know that song. So anyway, so we have to be ready just to think ourselves as servants of everyone else, not master of anyone. And that takes a lot of work, because we generally we think Ishwaro Hamaham Bhagavad, I'm the perfect powerful, I'm the master. Instead of understanding, as Prabhupada quotes from 529 here in the purport, Bhaktaram Jagatapasam Savalokavaheshram Suridam Savaputanam Yatvam Shanti Vachati. That Krishna's the enjoyer, Krishna's the proprietor, Krishna's the pati. You're not the pati. Yeah, Bhaktaram Sarala. Yatvam Shanti Mrishati. And then our mind can be peaceful. This Prabhupada talks about here that if you just attach to money and you're very proud, you'll never be peaceful. You're always going to be anxiety. Now, who's going to take it away? But if you have nothing, there's nothing to worry about. It's interesting. Of course, for Krishna, here's another point before we end class. Of course, for Krishna, one has to deal with money. Because like in my position, you know, I'm the sannyasi. And, you know, if I was following Madhavendra Puri, I would be completely without anxiety. Because Madhavendra Puri, he didn't eat unless someone came to him with the food. He didn't even ask for food. He was more advanced than even the Manukari stage of sannyas, where you go home to home and ask for food. You know, can I have one chapati? Can I have a slice of pizza? Like that. And he just sat. If someone didn't bring him food, he would fast. So you may think, how horrible that is. But that's freedom from anxiety. He's not worried. Even if you're out begging, you're worried. You know, if I knock on this door, is this person going to mistreat me? Is this person going to give me something? And then you're praying to Krishna, please, let him give me something. You know, it happens. Even the mind becomes polluted by such a simple thing like that. Like Prabhupada, Lord Chaitanya said when Raghunath Das Goswami gave up begging, he said, this is very good. Because even when you're begging, you're thinking, this is a Chaitanya Charitamrita story, this person will give me a donation. This person won't give me a donation. You know, when you're begging for food. Because Raghunath Das Goswami originally was begging for his food from the people who came out of the Jagannath temple. But then he went to the soup kitchen. And then Lord Chaitanya said, this way your mind is free from anxiety because you're not making this discrimination. This is a good person. This is a bad person. So Madhavendra Puri was like that. And he was free from anxiety. You know, you don't think it was wretched. He was free from anxiety. And Krishna provided him with food anyway. Even Krishna didn't let him fast. Krishna brought him this milk in a pot. It's pretty nice. If you actually take shelter of Krishna, that's what will happen. Krishna will bring you milk in a pot, or at least quinoa in a pot. Buckwheat, quinoa in a pot. Or salad in a pot for Mother Krishna Priya. Yeah, if Krishna came here and said, "Here's a milk in a pot," says, no, just bring me some. Maybe some carrot juice instead. And Krishna would have to go back and use his juicer, his Breville juicer, to carrot juice for her. So, apart from that, it's actually funny. So apart from that, you know, Krishna took care of him, and he wasn't in anxiety. And if you're not in anxiety, basically you're happy. And if you're in anxiety, you can never be happy if your mind's disturbed. Isn't it? If you have something to lose. So anyway, but for the service of Krishna, we have to put ourselves in anxiety and deal with money. Just like we have every month, of course, we have expenses here. And so, causes anxiety, but that anxiety is purifying and doesn't deviate us from Krishna consciousness. Or like we're trying to start this Krishna West project. We need money. It's not that money is going to come from the spiritual world. That would be nice. And sometimes it comes from Los Angeles. But anyway. That's an inside joke. But, so we have to be in anxiety. How are we going to make money, support the program? Okay. Don't repeat what I said in class to anybody. Where is the Srila Prabhupada?